Let's have a look at this program from Caulfield on Saturday. And joining us is the Trial Files, Matt Welsh. How are you, Matt?
Very well, Nadia. How are you?
I'm all right. How did you find the weekend?
Yeah, look, it was a good meeting at Caulfield on Saturday. We had a good three track, and I think Caulfield once again raced fairly. It's just a premium metro racing track, and all horses once again got their chance. And we had a good midweek meeting as a result of Anzac Day on Wednesday, and one really strong performance that I'll highlight later in the show.
Okay, well, let's talk about race number one. This was a three-year-old filly's open that was run over 1,600 metres. The market was fairly interesting here. It was a wide race.
Yeah, it certainly was. And the eventual winner, Snogging, who opened a $2.60 favourite, was really taken on in betting. She ended up jumping $4.20. And I think that was because of the map. She certainly mapped to end up three back the pegs, which is exactly what happened. And I think that's why punters were willing to take her on. Princess Mia, who was the natural leader in the race, she was $11 into $8.50. Second Marriage was $11 into $6. And Kazares down the bottom for Matthew Ellerton and Simon Zara was well backed on race day, $15 into $9. But the heavily drifting favourite, Snogging, got the cash.
It did get the cash. Well, let's talk a little bit about the performance. She's always been a class filly.
Yeah, she certainly has, and this was a really good performance. She, as I said, she got trapped three back on the rails, a brilliant ride from Damien Oliver to make sure he got the filly mobile before the home bend. She's dashed home in good sectionals. It was the ninth best last 400 and 200 metre splits of the day, which is handy for a restricted three-year-old race over a mile. She was only third up. I think she's got further improvement to come, and she could definitely step up to 2,000 metres and take some beating again next start. I don't think there was too much to follow outside of the winner, save for Diamond Bow, trained by Wendy Kelly. This filly was heavily backed in early markets, but quite easy on race day. She blundered the start a bit, got a long way back. She ran home in nearly as good a splits as the winner, Snogging. So I think we can follow Diamond Bow in a similar sort of race. I think Snogging can probably take a step up to listed grade over 2,000 metres going forward. Princess Mia, who had done a lot of work at her previous start up on speed when knocking up behind Savakul, she got a far easier time of it out in front, and I thought was just fair. So I think we can certainly follow Snogging, and as I said, in a similar sort of grade, Diamond Bow.
Okay, so there's a couple to follow out of race number one. We have a look at the second. This was a 1,200 metre race for mares. As far as the market was concerned here, we had about three horses who were all at a pretty similar quote in Divine Quality, Creativity, and also Outer Stellar.
Yeah, it was a really interesting betting race because Divine Quality was heavily backed in the days leading up to the race. She was $4.20 into $2.70 on race morning. And then got $2.70 back out to that $4.20 when betting got really serious. The eventual winner, Creativity, was $6 into $4.60. Outer Stellar went around the favourite, $3.40 out to $3.90. Just a couple of others here. The Chant was quite well backed. One of the natural speed horses, $13 into $8.50. And Mamzelle Test 7 out to $9.50. So Divine Quality heavily backed in those fixed odds markets leading up to race day, but very easy once the betting got serious. And Creativity was certainly the best back late.
And got the money too, resuming from a spell.
She certainly did, and I really want to highlight this race because Creativity, we didn't see her at a jump out prior to her resumption here. I gather she'd done a bit of private barrier training. She's always been a bit of a barrier rogue, and she has had her issues in the mounting yard. And I get a bit of mounting yard information from a business I have a little involvement in, the race club, and she was one of only two horses to parade 10 out of 10 on the day. And for punters, when we don't have the jump outs available, the best guide we can go on as to how a mare has come back or how a horse has come back is how they parade in the yard. So they've clearly done a fantastic job with this mare, Maddie Ellerton and Simon Zara. They've got her to settle. They've got her to jump well. They've got her to behave in the barriers. And another telltale sign that they'd done a good job with this filly was she resumed with the blindfold off and the stallion chain off. So the gear went out the window. She looks far more settled. And I think she can continue to take the step forward because this was a really good win. She was dominant. It was probably the best performance of the day. Here, the Chant really put the pressure on from the 1,000 metre to the 600 metre mark when Craig Williams strode up outside Outer Stellar. They ran 21.08 seconds, but for those 400 metres, there, and that was just, they were working too hard. And here the Chant knocked up. I think she is heading to the Spelling Paddock. She finished last, and can excuse Alta Stella to an extent because, as I said, she worked hard there. The other one who hit the line and, as I mentioned, was heavily backed in the days leading up to the race was Divine Quality. She ran the fourth best late 600 of the day. But that's just what she does. She gets back, hits the line, and I think this is about her grade. But I think Creativity's in for a big campaign, Nadia.
Okay, so that's Creativity's win in race two. Well, the third race, there were quite a few chances in this, but the money seemed to come race day for Zaccone. It was well backed.
Yes, certainly was, and he was a horse who mapped to be on speed again. He was the likely leader along with Sunday Prey. So, Zaccone, $8.50 into $5. The eventual winner, Lizard Island, was $14 into $10. Sunday Prey, though, went the other way. $3 out to $6 was a very firm favourite initially, but big drifter on race day. Fadawi, who was having its first start for the Hayes Dominic Yard, a five-year-old German gelding, $3.50 out to $4.40. And the other one that attracted some late support was Portman, $8.50 into $7.
Okay, well, we talked about Zaccone being up on speed. What did you think about the way that this race was run and also the eventual winner in Lizard Island?
Yeah, Zaccone and Sunday Prey worked quite hard early, up the hill out of the 1,400-metre start with just that short run into the bend. And then they really slackened the pace coming to the home turn, and you could see those backmarkers sort of catch up, and the field was very bunched as they went around the home bend. Lizard Island was just trucking up on the inside. Bo Mertens was just desperate for a run on the home bend, and eventually a gap came as they came around into the home lane, and he sprinted too quickly. He was coming off a very unlucky ninth at his start prior at the same track and distance, so it certainly wasn't a fluke to see him win Lizard Island. There was a lot made of Fadawi back in the field, who I think Fred Kersley was questioned over the ride and not getting to the outside as they were coming around the home bend, instead opting to take runs through the field. Look, I thought he was okay. He was certainly out-sprinted over the last 400 and 200 metres by Lizard Island, so I don't think by any stretch of the imagination was he a good thing beaten. Mm. But I do think as he steps up in distance for this stable, he's going to improve. And Sunday Prey, I think, did a really good job to hang on so well. He ended up finishing third, only beaten 0.6 of a length, and as I said, did have to do that early work, and then I think was disadvantaged by that slowdown into the home bend.
We go to race four. This was a 70 over 1,100 metres, and just having a look at the market for this, gee, there was very good support, wasn't there, for the eventual winner in Written Choice, who the emergency was able to gain a start, but the short price favourite in the event was Pleasant.
Yeah, and Pleasant was well backed in the days leading up to the races. There were some deductions, but he was 3.40 into 2.40, and pretty firm when the betting got serious. He was just a slight drift to $2.40 out to $2.60. There was a good go for Magnus Spirit at huge odds, $34 into $17. And as you say, throughout the morning, Written Choice was very well specced, $8.50 into $4.80. He did get out again to $6.50 late, but there was certainly interest in the Logan McGill trained colt.
He was just able to find the front from the good draw.
Yeah, he was. And there looked a lot of speed on paper. And, you know, what we often find with these races where there does look a lot of speed is that a lot of them decide they're going to take a sit and they don't end up going that hard. And that's exactly what they did here. Written Choice got a nice time of it for the first 300 metres, and Stephen Bastard just controlled the race. He's such a good rider of front runners. And then this colt was able to dash up of the winners on the day. He dashed up the best last 600, 400 and 200 metre splits. So when he's a length and a half out in front and high rolling, they're just never going to catch him when he's dashing home those sort of sections. I thought this was a really good training effort by Logan McGill, because this horse did a lot wrong at Pakenham in early March. He's had 7 weeks between runs, had a little jump out at Mornington to get him right for this, and Logan has clearly transformed the horse. So good win by him. The favourite, Pleasant, looked uncomfortable in the run. He wanted to hang badly around the bend. He's pulled up with an issue, so that's a shame, because his first up win for the new stable was excellent. He's clearly a five-year-old who's had some issues, and hopefully they can get Pleasant right. Believing hit the line really strongly. That's sort of where his mark is. He gets back and runs home quickly. But and the other one I'd like to mention is Card Players, or That Card Players, who had absolutely no luck back in the field. Has finished 13th, but could easily have been up there in the first four or five across the line.
So that's a look at that race, race four. Race five was a three-year-old 1,200 metre open. The market here really went towards the eventual winner in William Thomas with Damien Oliver aboard.
Yeah, the market's honed in on the two favourites, Real Martini, $6 into $4.60. And as you say, the eventual winner there, William Thomas, $3.60 into $3. The runner-up, Sun Quan, who was first up, had been a little bit of specking in the days leading up to the race, but was $7 to $8.50 late. But I think the punter's got the cash with William Thomas.
And it was a good ride by Damien Oliver, and it was always going to be pretty hard to beat the way that the race had panned out.
Yeah, they've gone very hard here. Sun Quan certainly ran them along first up. And look, he did a huge job to run as well as he did. He blew up the last 200 metres running 12.26 for that final furlong, which is understandable when you're first up against a horse who's had a few runs this campaign, a bit of fitness. I think Sun Quan certainly has a win in him next start. John Price put the Norton bid on William Thomas, and Damien Oliver did the rest. He got this gelding to settle, which has been his issue. He's been quite fierce in his racing, and the strong tempo certainly aided that. But a great ride by Damien Oliver, and good training performance. They've obviously got a long-range goal in mind with William Thomas, and they've got him to settle, which is going to help him going forward. Huge Action, who was certainly running out of his perceived grade, has done a big job up on speed. And I thought Villasace hit the line nicely, and is sort of this horse has been transformed because it was a horse who loved to free roll up on speed, and now Heath Connors has got him settling in behind the tempo and finishing off nicely. But, you know, I think the first two over the line have got more wins in store, William Thomas and Sun Quan, in the coming weeks.
We then go to race six. This was the listed race of the program, the Reduce Choice Stake for two-year-olds over 1,200. The market had Sunset Watch the favourite, but the eventual winner, Let Me Sleep On It, did have good support from Longer Odds In.
Yeah, Sunset Watch was one of the big drifters of the day, $1.90 out to $2.80. Fighting Harada for the Mick Price Yard was pretty steady, had a bit of support leading up to race day, and then pretty steady at around $6. Little bit of interest, as you say, in Let Me Sleep On It, the eventual winner who jumped $12. And Sikorsky, a debutante here for the Hayes Damanik Yard, was easily the best-backed runner, $4.80 into $3.90. But that was a big drift on Sunset Watch, $1.90 out to $2.80. And frankly, he never looked like winning.
He didn't. Well, let's talk a little bit about the way the race ended up being run. The winner was tramped deep up on speed, but was too strong for them.
Yeah, certainly was. They've went out hard again here for the two-year-olds, and they really fell in a hole late. Let Me Sleep On It, she was the one with plenty of fitness on her side. She ran home 35.68 for the last 600 metres, which certainly wasn't flash for the day. They had done a bit of work early, but the overall time was pretty plain. Sunset Watch clearly hasn't turned up. He was very good to start prior over 1,100 metres when leading at Caulfield. He'd been back to the jump outs since that run. He'd finished at the tail of the field in the jump out, and maybe his campaign has come to an end. Sikorsky, who was heavily backed, was pretty ordinary, finished towards the tail. And I think Damien Oliver noted that the horse just wasn't interested in racing once he settled at the back of the field, so they might try and ride him a little bit further forward next start. And I thought Fighting Harada was very keen first up. He had to check off heels in the midsection of the race, and thought he did a good job to the line, and he's probably the one that you might be able to follow going forward. But don't think it was the strongest two-year-old race, Nadia, race six.
Okay, so we go to race number seven. This was a three-year-old fillies open over 1,100 metres. What was the tail with the betting?
Well, the best backed runner, Sanadart, $4.80 into $4 first up. Leather and Lace was well backed in the days leading up to the races, but she was $3.90 out to $5.50. Grey Shadow, who eventually won the race, she was $10 out to $11, while Island Days, who came through the same race as Grey Shadow and had beaten her there at Sandown the start prior, was $7 into $5.50. But overall, I don't think there was a huge amount of notable betting action in race seven.
And what about the eventual winner here, Grey Shadow, for Darren Weir, who's only a lightly raced little filly?
Yeah, she is, and as I said, she'd been touched off by Island Days there at Sandown the start prior, but Darren has clearly brought her on nicely heading into this second up run. She settled leaders back, which was Kino Town, was the leader. And look, she was too strong late. I think she's a smart filly. Her debut win at Kyneton when she won her maiden there first up suggested she was just that, and she might really be able to progress from this. She ran the fifth best last 1,000 metre of the day in 55.6 seconds, and that sustained speed suggests to me that she can probably step up to 1,400 metres next start. The clear run of the race was Leather and Lace. She produced the best last 1,000 metre split of the day. She was first up, and I think she'll come on for the run. And Sanidad, as I mentioned, you know, she was a well-backed favourite, and she never got warm at all. I think she finished second or third last and never looked likely. So she finished last, apologies, and the vet didn't find any issue with her. So not sure, she had trialled quite well, so not sure what's gone on with Sanidad.
Okay, we go to race number eight. What was the betting action like here?
Race 8, Run Sun was probably the best backed runner leading up to the day. Had been $8.50 to $5 on Thursday and Friday and ended up jumping $3.40. Flying Murty, who was the eventual winner, was very well back late. Jumped as short as $3.70, having opened $6.50 during the week. And No Shio was the other well backed runner on the day, $7 into $5. So those three at the head of the market were the ones that the punters really honed in on.
Well, let's talk about the winner, Flying Murty, who was able to get up for Greg Urell. It was a great ride by Nikita Berryman.
Yeah, it certainly was a great ride. This horse was coming off a very slowly run race at Pakenham when he was able to win his third start. He should have been three from three leading into Saturday's race. His only defeat came at Pakenham when he was badly held up in behind the speed. What he was able to do on Saturday was deal with an increase in tempo as to what he'd endured at his previous start at Pakenham. And as you say, Nikita Berryman just had him in a beautiful spot, got him rolling nice and early. And, you know, he was too good for them. And I think he's a really progressive gelding, this bloke, who can continue to rise through the grades. I thought Eclair Calling was a huge effort. He sat four deep throughout and still had the audacity to be taking ground off Flying Murty on the line. He ran 11.82 seconds for the last 200 and was really running through the line. So I can follow Eclair Calling. Spanahead, trained by Archie Alexander, was badly held up in behind the speed. Probably could have challenged the winners if he got out. And he was first up, and he's a dual winner second up. So I'm certainly keen to follow Spanahead out of the race. But exciting horse, Flying Murty. And I think come the spring, once he's had a preparation and a spell under his belt, he could be a real force to be reckoned with.
Then we go to the ninth and last race. The markets in this was fairly open.
Yeah, it certainly was. I think He Excels for Richard Lamming was the best back runner. I suspect that's because it was a horse who was likely to go forward. $7 into $4.20. Numea had its supporters, $8.50 into $6. No Commitment down the bottom was the other well-backed runner. Apologies to Colin Little runner, $8 into $3.80. And Top of the Range, who's been a foe of punters, they dropped off $4.20 out to $6. And the eventual winner, Jemay, was $16 out to $41, so absolutely friendless.
It's amazing, isn't it, sometimes what the betting can do. Well, let's talk a little bit about, we know the friendless runner who was first up from a break was the eventual winner, first up from being gelded.
Yeah, he was. The real noticeable factor of this race was No Commitment had a pretty easy lead for the first few furlongs of the race before Prima, who'd been racing wide, went up and attacked that galloper. They went 12.48 seconds from the 1,000 to the 800 before quickening by 7 lengths for the next furlong, running 11.24 seconds. So No Commitment was forced to take off a lot earlier than Ben Thompson would have liked there on that galloper. And I think if he had got another cheap sectional, he would have been really hard to run down. So the No Commitment's done a good job to hold on and only be beaten as far as he was. Jemay, huge betting drift, but it was a visually appealing win. I think he's going to be better over further, so to get a win at 2,000 metres is certainly a bonus. I think Hursley, who poked through and ran second, is another horse who'll be looking for 2,500 metres at Flemington next start and can be followed. That was just second up off a long break, so good run by Hursley. And Lycurgus, he's a horse who doesn't have a huge amount of luck, and again on Saturday didn't have much luck. So for those brave punters out there who continue to follow Lycurgus, I think it's going quite well, but just struggles to find its right race, Nadia. But yeah, I'll be following No Commitment out of this. I think it was a big effort up on speed when taken on early.
Okay, so No Commitment, the one to follow. We'll take a break, come back and recap some of the key runs from Saturday, as well as the run of the week and a couple of bets for the meeting at Sale. This
on RSN 927, Winners with Nadia Horn.
Well, with Matt Walsh from the Trial Files, talking a bit about Caulfield, we're up to the summation as well as the run of the week and also a few tips for today. So who do you think, Matt, are the key horses to follow from Saturday?
Look, outside of the winners, Nadia, Creativity and William Thomas, both who I think will keep winning. Keen to follow Sun Quan out of race five. He was just first up there. Had trialled really well leading into this campaign and, as I said, only knocked up that last furlong. So I think he'll be really hard to beat over 1,200 metres second up. From race eight, Spannerhead, who had no luck in behind them, had got into a lovely spot in running and would have challenged the winners with even luck in the straight. And Eclair Calling, who covered all that ground out wide. I think that was a huge effort by Eclair Calling. And out of the last, No Commitment, as I mentioned, was taken on up in front. Is a horse who's been up for a while and been running very well, but I just think maybe one more win in it before it goes for a spell. So they're the horses to follow out of Caulfield.
Okay, the ones to follow. Was there anything else that caught your eye throughout the week?
Yeah, we had the big meeting at Flemington on Wednesday. The listed St. Ledger taken out by Runaway for Gay Waterhouse. Good performance there. There was a really good performance earlier in the day by a Chris Waller-trained horse called Life Less Ordinary. Now, this horse has run 148.8 for the 1,800-metre trip, which is only a second and a half or so outside the track record. But what was most impressive about his win was his final 6-4 and 200 metre splits, 32.68, 22.02 and 11.3. By far and away, the quickest of any of the winners on the day. To do that over 1,800 metres off, you know, wasn't a ridiculously slow tempo, was excellent. He put them away from midfield very impressively. So keen to follow Life Less Ordinary wherever he heads next. I think he's clearly flying for the Waller stable.
Okay, so there's one to follow. What about today? You've had a look at the meeting at Sale?
Yeah, just before we get into today, I'll just touch on a couple of maiden gallopers.
Okay.
There was one yesterday at Geelong, a three-year-old gelding for the Mick Price stable, Holy Command in race two.
Come from nowhere, didn't it?
Yeah, he certainly did. Look, they went fast up front, so he was entitled to run home, but it was an incredible performance they've run. It was by far the best rating race of the day. They've run 111.70 for the traditional 12.25 metre journey there at Geelong. He was the best last 400 and 200 metre splits of the winners on the day, running 10.9 and 11.24. So that was a good performance to do that off a hot tempo first up. Covered plenty of ground. Did get out to the best part of the track late, but I think he can go to town off that win. That was exceptional. And he had trialled and jumped out very well twice leading into it. So I don't think that was a fluke. I think Duality, who ran second in the same race, can come out and win a maiden next start, a three-year-old gelding trained by the Waterhouse camp. He sat closer to that hot speed, and there was a big gap back to third. So Duality was another one who had jumped out well at Flemington, and I think placed in the right maiden next start, he can be winning. Going back to Mowi on Wednesday, on Anzac Day, the same day as that Flemington meeting, Honeysuckle Choice was a two-year-old filly who made its debut for the Yarrell Yard, sat outside the heavily backed Hayes Dominic runner in Wanassa and was far too good for her late. Ran faster time than the benchmark 58 later in the day over the 10-14 metre trip. So that was a good win by Honeysuckle Choice, who I think can certainly continue to win. And Sunday last week, Ballarat, an Archie Alexander trained two-year-old gelding called Hinch Rider. He'd been freshened up since running in the Blue Diamond Prelude. He jumped out well in between starts, and he led. He absolutely towed them up, one by six lengths running away, and the clock backed up his performance. He was 71.38 seconds for the 1,200 versus the subsequent three-year-old maiden, which was about eight lengths slower in 72.54 seconds. So that was a really good performance from Hinch Rider and a horse we can follow.
Okay, what about today? What have you got for us?
Okay, well, I've had a look at Sale today. It's a pretty good program. There's some strong races I'm going to have something on race 2, number 7, Riverhouse. Makes its debut for the Enright stable down at Mornington. Has had a series of jump outs and trials and looked really impressive. Noel Callow rides today, so I think they'll go forward from gate 8 and should be in the finish. And I think we're going to get an each-way price about race 2, number 7, Riverhouse. And the last race, really strong race to finish it off, 1,005-metre benchmark 64. Two key chances here for mine. Skatopia for the Shea Eden Yard, resuming off a long spell, has trialled very well for this resumption. Wide draws at sale late in the day. Don't worry me too much. They generally get off the fence. Might be a touch short for him, but with good speed up front, I think he'll be hitting the line. And El Gagne, trained by Graham Begg, the Begg stable, absolutely flying. This is a filly who's always showing good ability, and she too has trialled up very well at Cranbourne leading into this resumption. So in the last, they're going to have something on both Skatopia and El Gagne.
Very good, Matt. We'll do it all again next week, and good luck today.
Thanks, Nadia.
There's Matt Welsh from the Trial Files with his review of the Saturday action from Caulfield and also a couple of bets for the sale program. It's now 13 to 11. Winners.